Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, author, lawyer, and psychic intuitive, Michelle Welch.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Rose Ganache. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
If any of you have been listening to the show for a while, you've probably heard me say something like, just this week, this happened, and it reminded me about the show, and or this is perfect because this week, this happened. Well, I was actually wondering, I thought, this is a particular show, a very important particular show, and I'm wondering, what's the monologue going to be? And I was wondering all week, and something would happen, I'm like, huh, this would make a great monologue, I think. And then something else would happen, and I'm, oh, this would make an interesting monologue, and maybe this is it. Little did I know that the monologue was there all along, in that I had a friend who I hadn't spoken to in a while who'd been trying to reach me all week, texts and phone calls, and unfortunately, I didn't have the time to respond to her and see what was going on. And she didn't say it was an emergency, and she didn't say anything in particular. She just says, call me, call me. So finally on Sunday, I sat down and I called her, and there was the monologue. She said to me that our mutual friend had passed that week. And we talked and we talked, and then she started crying. And she's not one to cry, and was saying all these wonderful things, and at the same time being very, very hurt and sad and all of that, for many reasons, of course. And I said, you know he's here. And I said, you know, our guest on Monday is going to talk about, and I started to talk about this coming show and what I had already learned. And she said, I know, I know. And in that moment, we were both better, and maybe even the friend that died was better. And actually, that's a great place to start. I didn't even think about that until now, if that might even help them, because if we're connected, we're connected. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
I think you're spot on. And you know what I was feeling about when you started that monologue was how, you know, when we started this show, conversations like this would be considered a little bit out there. And yet now they're right here, and there's more and more people. I just had a friend from Texas that had an experience of his own where he is absolutely convinced that he came in contact with his father. And what's most interesting about that, his father who had passed, and what's most interesting about that is he was not of the belief system to even begin to accept that. And then I've watched how his life has unfolded since. So tonight's conversation is super important.
And you know, that is so great that you say that, because I was speaking with our guest earlier today, and I said, you know, coming from the perspective from somebody who is, by the way, a practicing attorney, and not just a practicing attorney, but a criminal and civil law attorney. She's also a jury selection consultant. So has done a lot of study, a lot of due diligence on so many things, like have to figure out the facts and, you know find the truth. So for her to also have this and also share in this way, I can't wait to dig into the conversation. She's also an author. She's a psychic. She's a psychic intuitive. We could go on, and we're so happy to have Michelle Welch on the show. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, Michelle, we wasn't going to start there, but did our friend feel us?
Yes, I do believe that. What I have seen and experienced since I was young, as and through everyone that comes to see me, I believe not only do we have what people might call a visitation from our loved ones, but our loved ones definitely can sense us. There's been some movies that might lead us to believe otherwise, like they don't know we're there, but we're talking about just moving to another frequency. And I don't want to get all sciencey because I'm not all sciencey. I'm a lawyer. I'm not super sciencey, but it is, it's just another frequency. And what you said is perfect. They are still with us.
As a matter of fact, you say something like they're not that far away.
They're not. So everything is energy. Everything just changes form. Energy never goes away. It just changes form. And so we change to potentially some different form, but everything's also as being energy, it's moving, it's oscillating, it's shaking, it's vibrating, and it has a frequency. And that frequency is just a little bit off. We have singers, you have singers, you guys are singers and musicians. And you think about just changing that old radio dial just a little bit to tune in to just what might be a just a slightly different frequency. And it's so close that our loved ones are so close to us. And for those who come from all kinds of religious or ritual practices, that doesn't in any way discount that. You can do that in the confines of what you already believe. You don't have to throw away everything you believe to believe, hey, my grandmother really might be trying to get in touch with me, say, through music, because that's a very much a way that they try to get in touch. Or and I was using an example of a grandmother, but someone, a loved one, is trying to get in touch with me. One of the biggest ways is through music.
You know, Michelle, what inspired another thought from me as you were talking about not being sciencey, but I can't help it. When you talk about frequency, it gives us a different view of how they can still be present, and that there isn't this, we're resigned to this definition of distance and space in our physical world. But when it's frequency, everything can live in the same space at the same time, just like two different notes being, you know, together, except they're completely different.
Oh, that's beautiful, the way you just put that thing. And that is exactly what I experience when I do have people come through to me. That's what I call it, come through. And I've had cases that I work on where someone has passed and they will come through to me. And I can tell anyone and myself too, with 100% knowingness from my experience, that your loved ones are still with you. Now, that does sometimes, it can sometimes potentially, I want to just address this one thing, hurt someone a little bit, because they may say, well, then why hasn't my loved one gotten in touch with me? And so what I will tell them is, and I was just talking to someone today about this, is it might be, I say, and I'm not, I don't mean this rudely, I mean it, your loved ones, when they pass, they have lives too. So they may be doing their strongest work for you on your behalf when you don't hear from them. And they know, and maybe have a little bit higher. They still maintain some of their ego, just so you know. Like if your mom didn't like how you did your hair, she'll usually tell me, is she still doing her hair that way? Why? And they have sense of humor if they did before, and they'll tell you what they think still. But it's really important to know that it is just, it's a layering. Like it's not exactly a parallel universe, but I believe probably the quantum physicists would call it something like that. But they're just gone on to a different, and it's not even for me a different plane, a different dimension. It's a different frequency and a different tune. There, I found these sylphageal frequencies. They were banned by the church for years and years and years. And in the 1970s, Joseph Puello got them out, then they are in tune with the Earth's heartbeat, 8 hertz, which is the Schumann resonance. And those beats, and it's not the binaural beats, it's the sylphageal frequencies. And in my book, Spirits Unveiled, I wrote how you could get in touch with different ones using those different frequencies, which you can get from an app on your phone or from YouTube. And you can use those to get in touch with different beings, including your lost loved ones. And that includes, by the way, your animal companions.
Well, interesting, because in the book Spirits Unveiled that you've just released, A Fresh Perspective on Angels, Guides, Ghosts, and More. So animal spirits could be part of the and more, but there's more to the and more.
Right. So this is not, my book was never intended to be an encyclopedia on all the spirit beings that there could be in the multiverse. However, I tried to bring out some that we hear a lot about, some in some countries more than others. I do talk about elementals, which in other countries, they have, for instance, with a fae or fairy, they have rerouted entire roadways for millions of dollars because contractors didn't want to tear down a hawthorn tree, which is known as a fairy tree, because there was history with that hawthorn tree. So they could not get a contractor to tear down that tree, and they had to bypass. And I always thought the story was a runway, but it's a motor road. And those two are spirit beings. Now in the West, we might not be as quick to go, oh yeah, you know, I really connect with the fairies, but in other parts of the world, they're very, and to the point of not one contractor would reroute that road. Mm. Yes. Very, very interesting.
So along with that are also extraterrestrials and other energetic beings. And now it goes from there, but you know, the ancestor thing, the angel, that seems to be like where a lot of people can start, as far as I can believe in that. And so what do we do with that belief? How does it serve us?
Correct. And I agree with you about where we can start. So in fact, about 70%, I think is the most recent polls, people believe in angels of some sort. And in fact, it's something that ties the four major, and I mean numbers of people, not better than or anything else, but numbers of people, four major religions together. They all believe they're angels. They may believe they do something different. Gabriella or Gabriel maybe brought the word of Christ's birth to Mary Elizabeth about John the Baptist, and the Quran by Gabriel was brought to Muhammad. So, but they all believe in this archangel. So how can that help us? If I believe was your question, I'm sorry, I got off of it a little bit, but so many people do believe in angels. They don't necessarily have to believe the exact same thing or see them in the exact same way. But I believe these angels will meet us where we are, where we need them to be. And we will see them often and see spirits often. That's why we might see them differently than someone else. We will see them at many times, what we started the show with, when we need comforting from an angel. Mm. They will come to us when we, and they want us to call on them. We don't have to wait, and we're not to worship them. That is not what they're wanting. They're wanting to help us. They're in my book. If the angel's name ends in EL, the archangel, which means a lead angel, that means of God. And those represent the characteristics of God. That can be what, you can put that in whatever context you want to put it in, but that's what it means. So it could be righteousness of God. It could be mercy of God. So if you're needing, for instance, right now, Archangel Azrael, who has like an off-white kind of yellow pale appearance, he is the angel of death, and he gets a very, very bad rep. He doesn't carry that scary hood or wear that hood and carry that sickle or whatever it's called. He comforts ministers. He comforts first responders. He comforts you for losing your friend. And we can call on Azrael to help us through times of great grief regarding the passing of loved ones.
Well, and in the book, you go through many of these examples and how we can connect and when and all these, because there are different times when Well, actually, this is interesting because there are different times some of us think that there's the veil is thinner. Now, you said there may not be such a thing as a veil. Didn't you? Did I misunderstand you?
You did not.
Okay.
One of my best friends says, okay, your third book that I'm working on, what's your shocking statement there, Michelle? And I'm like, I'm not trying to be shocking. I'm just saying it the way I see it. I remember singing, we're coming close to Christmas, or the holidays, and I remember singing a song at church. My mother played the organ. My father was the music minister. And we were singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Little Michelle points up to the ceiling in the church and says, and there they are. Mm. And so, and because I have seen angels and seen different things for all this time. And so, yeah, I write about there not being a veil because of that. The veil, I never want to put down other people's beliefs. It's just not something I'm about at all. So if people believe that, you know, the veil is becoming thinner at a certain time or in the morning or at the, you know, dawn and dusk. And if that's a part of their ritual, their beliefs system, that's great. For me, it never made any sense to me because I see and sense spirits and I have. And frankly, when I told judge friends, lawyer friends, I thought I'd get you're whatever. And they never talked to me again. They actually said, oh, that explains so much. Thank you for telling us. Mm. And it's kind of funny. They kind of were laughing at me because, you know, I was like, you know, y'all, when I pick juries, you really are just seeing me be more ADD when I'm looking out at the ceiling and you don't know what I'm looking at. But I told them later, no, I just kind of made that up. Really, I'm seeing things. I'm getting images and it's not seeing things like Michelle's. There's something wrong with Michelle. I just always have had images, and a lot of people will have just a sensing. You don't have to see the tangible version. Energy can do whatever it wants to do.
Back to your broadcast or your radio analogy. Mm-hmm. For those that remember the tuners of the radio, right? Then the veil could be maybe misdiagnosed or misdefined as actually being more or less in tune. And so therefore people like yourself are more in tune. You're vibrating or being able to sense those other vibrations as opposed to there being something in the way like a veil.
Perfect. I wish I'd had you when I was writing my book.
Well, I'm here for book three.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
I was hearing a sound effect for I was hearing... You know, like that in between part between when the frequency's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, you can do the sound effects for the book.
The sound effect. You know, and what's kind of funny is when people are trying to communicate through music, and they do a lot. I bet you musicians have stories about this. You know, for all of y'all that are musicians, by the way, I played piano my whole life. My mother was a piano teacher. So the notes and the tunes mean something to me. I just don't have those great stories, Mark. But I do believe that the songs too, the lyrics. Okay. So it is, we can go a step beyond. It is that tuning into the frequencies that we're talking about, but then we're layering with something else. We're layering with a lyric maybe that meant something to that, or a song that person loved. And it's not always what we would imagine. I have an exercise in my book where you actually do a blueprint, a plan with your friends, with your partners, with whomever. I had strangers do it at a speech that I did on Sunday. And where you do a blueprint for when one of you passes, when you hear this song out of nowhere, you'll know it's me. When you smell the smell, you'll know it's me because olfactory is so strong for conjuring up memories with us, the smell, the scent. So all those beautiful ways of where people all of a sudden you just have the smell. It gets kind of you smell something that reminds you of that loved one, or the song randomly comes on the radio. A friend of mine, I don't usually read for someone the day after someone dies by suicide. That's against my ethics, but I'll leave out the backstory, but I did. It ended up because some other people had read for her. I read for her, and that's how we became friends. It's in the book. Her brother, she was listening to, she listens to heavy metal music. That's all that's on her playlist. That's all she listens to. And he got, at his funeral, there was a Tim McGraw song and they played it. She was crying. She was out listening. And all of a sudden her playlist just skipped and the Tim McGraw song came on. And that was definitely her brother reaching to her. Mm. Is that from Beyond the Veil? No, he's right there with her. It's just a way, an easier way to reach out. They can touch us. They can, many people will say they will, you know, touch our shoulder. And the reason I think that it gives people, it's not something where I'm just wanting to give people comfort, because I would never say something that I don't see or feel. That's why I really wanted to say, if something happens to someone, they don't run away. Just give it a moment and maybe go to those lists. What were their favorite songs? What was their favorite smell? What number combinations, those synchronicities of things that might happen where something's trying to get your attention? And might it just be that loved one?
Michelle, I think you actually started to answer the question that I was going to have for when we come back from the break, but maybe we can go a little bit deeper into it, which is, of course, how to connect. Why to connect actually as well. And then let's add a third component to that. And that is, like, should we be careful about connecting, because are there spirits out there that don't have the same moral ethics that we would want in that kind of communication potentially? So let's get into what might also be scary or we might be able to protect ourselves from if need be. So the book is Spirits Unveiled, A Fresh Perspective on Angels, Guides, Ghosts, and More. You're hearing it with our author here, Michelle Welch. And you can go directly to her website at michellewelch.com. Welch is W-E-L-C-H, michellewelch.com. And then, of course, the book is available online where books are sold. When we come back, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And after that, we'll be joined by our performance guests, Rose Ganache, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear.
Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Well, we're back, and our guest is author, psychic intuitive, and practicing lawyer, Michelle Welch. We're talking about many things, especially her book, Spirits Unveiled, A Fresh Perspective on Angels, Ghosts, or Guides, Ghosts, and More. And so in the "and more," Michelle, we didn't touch on this, but could there be demons?
There could. And we could call them demons. We might call them something that we create from our, if we believe our thoughts create reality, which many people do think, we could create a thought form that might be much like, they're called tulpas sometimes, that might be much like a demon. So yes, there's some shows where they'll say, oh, we don't want to scare anybody. Well, there's duality in our world. There's the universal laws of polarity and duality. So yes, there are certain other besides that we haven't spoken about that might be to some less palatable spirits around us and spirit beings.
Do you see them as just in different frequencies?
I do. And I see them no differently except for the frequent. And what I'm going to say here is, when I talk about vibration, a lot of people say, oh, you want to have a really high vibration. You know, you really want to be, honestly, to me, they're a lot of times saying good. And you don't want to have a low vibration because there's a bit of a judgment in there. I'm not talking about that. When I talk in my book about you want to have a higher vibration or a lower vibration as far as which spirits you want to connect with, I'm actually going back to that frequency that we spoke about. And saying that it might have a different feel to it. So, and it may not be something someone wants to connect with, but I will tell you that most of us have probably, because they're around us, I know they are, most of us have probably encountered a let's call it a ghost, a disincarnate. We might not see it. We've felt it. We knew something was going on. And most of us, maybe all the way to a demon. I think that's a little sensationalized. It probably could get really, really scary. I'll tell you one thing. And you said, you know, how do you connect? Why? And do you need to be careful? One thing that fascinates me, and I do know some paranormal researchers. My husband happens to be one who enjoys doing that type of stuff. But these ghost hunters really irritate me sometimes because if you believe that person is a lost loved one, a soul that for some reason is still hanging around and they're still here, I have compassion for that being. I really do. I will get like, how can we help? Do we need to help? Do we interfere? I don't want to shove a camera on the Goatman Bridge, which is in my town or near it, Denton, where a lot of the ghost hunters come, and they antagonize the spirits that are out there. And they believe they're out there, but they will antagonize them, and they'll get all excited when maybe they get one thing on their camera. If they're really these ghost hunters and they really believe in what I'm talking about, it's interesting to me that they get so excited when they see them, because when you've seen or sensed them for as long as I have, I'm not going to say I'm never shocked, but I'm not shocked. I would be shocked if all of a sudden we didn't have other beings around us. Some of them, I don't think you should certain people maybe should not contend with. I think parents should teach children more about the energies around them, not to scare them, but children talk about them. Children do. And I was very scared in my room when I was young. Now most things those types of things don't scare me as much as maybe, you know, as a human going to break into my house or something like that.
Michelle, what could your parents have said to you?
What could they have said?
As a child.
Well, and I say this with very much respect to my parents, because of the religious confines of my home, when I said things about what I saw, or if I sent someone that had an illness and I was young, I would get sent to my room, and they probably couldn't. They sent me to doctors, and drink orange juice was a prescription, so I'd stop telling people things that came true later. And so, but what they could have said, and what I would tell parents now that they can say, is listen, when your child says to you, I feel like there's a monster under my bed, there may not be anything under the bed, but why do we just dismiss our children and not say, well, let's talk about that. You know, let's talk about that imaginary friend. Let's talk about why you're afraid of the dark. And if they would have just helped in that way, it's the dismissiveness that we do with so many children. And that again goes back to the veil, because it's wide open. And so there's no, and I don't even believe that we're opening a lot of portals. I believe we're portals. There may be bigger portals, but we're a portal ourselves. We open things all the time. So I hope that answers. But for me, if my parents had just said, and they did try, but what they got me, and they got me these big life-size toys. So I actually ended up with, I don't know if y'all have seen the movie. I can't remember the name of the doll is Annabelle. And in the movie, the doll is really scary. They change her. She's actually a life-size Raggedy Ann doll. And I have one of those dolls. And I actually got it out of my parents' storage and brought it home, her home with me. And I play tricks on people up at work. I'm horrible. I put my stores, I move her around the store. She'll be in one area, and the next morning she'll be sitting at the checkout counter. That's really bad of me to do. But so they finally told me that I had to take Annabelle home. But they did try. But talking to them, and I want to just, if I could, the moral compass thing. So who are we to decide that our moral compass is better than, let me go back to say, well, let's use one that is difficult. Maybe there's a ghost that's a little bit menacing and he's causing some problems hanging around. Why is my moral compass better than his? Why is my moral compass better than a fairy, which believe, again, in parts of the world, this is not strange. This is not fairy tale stuff talking about. I mean, this is real for them. They are mischievous. They will take trinkets from your house and move them around. That sounds crazy, but I mean, people believe it, and it's happened to me. And so their moral compass, that they don't believe that that's wrong. And then, you know, we have our social mores.
I have to make an apology. I'm sorry. Michelle, yeah. No, I have to make an apology to Dorothy, who tells me beings are moving things all over. I like, if I give her something and she'll say, I put it right here. It was right here earlier. I'm telling you, or if she'll say it wasn't there before. And I'm like, Dorothy. And evidently you're telling me that happens.
Now you know it was the fairies.
I apologize, Dorothy.
Dorothy, especially if it's shiny. If it's shiny and, yes, and serious.
Well, if you know Dorothy, everything that she has is shiny. So that explains even more.
Then the fairies love her. And so them telling you, they will move things around. And then so I finally, I got a necklace. My husband took me. I don't know if I can say it, but we were in Vegas. There's a lot of beings in Vegas. So I'm not a big, you know, we were there for market. And we were walking down that strip. And he took me to eat at this one place that he really wanted to go. And I said, well, if we go eat there, then we're going to this certain store. And I'm going to get a necklace. Now, I definitely got the better end of that deal. But this fairy in my house moved this necklace so many times that my friends were kind of pulling the Dorothy thing. They were like, yeah, Michelle, sure. They moved it. Well, it ended up. I said, no, it's going to turn up. It's going to put it back. It did get put back right where I put it. and I wear it almost every day now because I'm not going to let that fairy take it again. But what I was getting to is they really do have, they're tricksters, many of them, and they really do. And I'm trying to use something that's a little bit benign as opposed to going all the way, like let's talk about a demon, but or a thought form that we create of our own. Most of those we're creating. Okay, one time I got really angry and I lit a bunch of these candles and I was really angry. And it's in my first book, and my publisher, Llewellyn, told me there was no way I was going to get releases for it from my ex-husband. And I said, oh no, he'll give me permission, no problem, because this is about something wrong I did. And I was really angry with him. So I lit all these candles and I brought in a thought form. And we had to clear that thought form out. So there are different ones, and how we connect with them and why would we want to is some of us might have some unresolved issues. We might live on land that is sacred land and we're living on that land. I mean, think about, we are walking on the bones of our ancestors or drinking water that's been recycled. And so of course there may be a spot that we get that, you know, the land of the place also, and it may not have, even the tree of the land of that space may not have that same moral compass, social moray, ethics or laws, and they may be governed by something differently than us. So even let's talk about aliens. So if we think, and the government seems to think there's at least the crafts of them, they're not talking about if there's any, and I'll tell you, I never really thought that much about extraterrestrial. It wasn't something that came really into my mind, but it has in the past about 4 years, because I've seen some of the things that I see, I'm seeing them a little bit differently. I told you, they kind of meet you where you are when you're ready to see it. Mm. And I will say there are some things that I am not ready to tangle with. And I just say, no, I'm not tangling with you. But why might I? Because I think that they're revealing themselves to me to tell other people that we aren't alone. I mean, we definitely are not here alone. I can't say, just believe me. I mean, just trust me. I see it. But I can say, just try some of these things. And what I don't want the book to ever be is somebody, and I know them when I see them, when they walk into my class or they walk into my store and they just are looking for something just dark. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about knowing that they're there. And a reason you might want to contact them is to say, what are you doing here? So I say, engage before you sage. At least ask one question. Why are you here? And it may turn into, get out of my house. You're not going to be here. You're not going to be in my circle of, in my cosmic dance, in this beautiful life I'm living. You're not going to be a part of it. And I'm banishing you from my life. But at least ask, because they may be there to say, okay, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time and you don't believe in any of this. So I'm trying to get your attention, just like a child would sometimes. They're going to ramp it up. And if you'll just ask sooner, they may just say, I need you to know something and tell you about a friend or tell you about something about your house that you need to know. There's a lot of reasons.
This comes down to frequency again. And I feel like we need a whole other show on this, but you know, if you don't get mad at a temperature for being higher than another temperature, like that one's so much hotter than, you know, there's a spectrum, but yet because of movies and programming and archetypes, we define these entities and then give it a whole different power. And so if you drop into that frequency, you're actually allowing yourself to resonate with that vibration, as opposed to, you know, rising or staying above it and being out of phase or out of tune.
It's exactly right. And where I go with that is being in tune for a moment. It's not going to change you forever and make you into that being, but you can then at least get some questions answered and get to know the beings, because they are, and my book doesn't scratch the surface of all the beings that there are that are around us that we just are oblivious to because they're just at a different frequency.
Michelle, this conversation doesn't even scratch the surface, and it you know we're going to have to all connect. You know, next time you're in LA or next time we're in Texas, we have to connect.
I would love that. I'm sure
I speak for all of us when I say we would too. In the meantime, we do have your book, Spirits Unveiled, and people can get it where the books are sold online. And you can go to directly to michellewelch.com, W-E-L-C-H, michellewelch.com. Thank you so much. All the best to you until we connect again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a pleasure. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Sarah, and my sister and I are grateful for your assistance in lifting our spirits this week amidst our emotional challenges. We did the prayer work together, and now we want to know how do we continue to stay happy instead of falling back into a fearful state.
My dear Sarah, we are always at choice, and so I encourage you to choose joy and do the things that make you happy. It would be good for you both to continue to do the prayer work every day. Affirmative morning prayers and evening prayers will help you so much. As we discussed, it is important to do prayers of gratitude, thanking the universe for supporting you every day in every way. I begin each morning with a simple prayer, and I'm happy to share it with you. I say this, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for this wonderful day, and I am grateful for you showing me everything I need to see and helping me hear all I need to hear to become the very best me I can be. Ever since I began doing this upon awakening, my life has changed for the better. I feel more awake and aware than ever before, and I'm truly making more elegant choices that have helped me feel great. We are the power in our world, and once we choose to remember this and pray from the attitude of gratitude, our life changes for the better. Please let me know how this works for you.
And after you choose joy, if you have a question for Dorothy or if you are interested in securing copies of the prayer work mentioned, please email her at dorothy@lifechangesnetwork.com.
And we'll be right back on the Life Changes Show at Home edition with our performance guest, Rose Ganache, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention.
It's a mindset brought about by a tangible transcendental experience, an audiovisual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorotheyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guests are Rose Ganache, featuring singer, songwriters, musicians, Michelle Wolf, and James Coburn. Welcome to the Life Changes Show, Michelle and James.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure, and it's exciting. And I know I didn't put it this way when we spoke earlier today, but, you know, I looked at beautiful promotional pictures of you all. And for a moment, I thought, now, these pictures could pass as wedding pictures.
Well, give it away, the dress.
Well, no, not necessarily, but tell me more.
Yeah, we actually got married this past September, so we have a lot of...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really exciting. And a lot happened this past September. Didn't you release your latest album in September?
That's right. On September 9th, we released our second EP called Acoustic, and it was a follow-up to our 2021 EP Madness from Two.
And then you got married like right after?
Immediately.
Okay, so you two met through music, I take it?
Yeah, we did. We met at a brewery playing at an open mic that James was actually hosting, and we decided to start playing together and spend a lot of time together, and it kind of went from there.
Wow. Okay. And Rose Ganache was born, actually, technically, it was born out of the pandemic. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, that's right. As Michelle was, alluding to, we started off sort of as an acoustic duo, and we were playing around Charleston, South Carolina, and when the pandemic hit, we decided to take some music lessons and consulting workshops through a website called Lively. And the company and website Lively gave us an opportunity to work with some very well-established musicians and touring bands who were very grateful for taking us under their wing. And so we sort of began a new iteration of our musical lives as a result of that.
Well, we're going to get to hear you both perform live in a little bit, but first we have a pre-recorded song. It's Flurry. Is there anything that you want to share about that?
Well, I just hope, people listen and take their experience from it and enjoy it.
Okay. Well,
I agree.
Okay. Well, here's Rose Ganache and their song A Flurry on the Life Changes Show.
Watch it escape me like a memory from an old dream. I let it embrace me. I've been waiting patiently. When you wake up in a flurry of fear, now tell me where we're going from here. When it's all in your head, it's all in your head. Admit it, I guess 'cause I stayed too late. And I don't regret it for a minute, and I bet you would say the same. But they put us off and they let us down, and they wonder why we're still around. And I guess that's what it takes. But you wake up in a flurry of fear. Now tell me where we're going from here, when it's all in your head. It's all in your head.
Ganache, thank you so much. If you're enjoying the music like we are, go to their website, roseganache.com, G-A-N-A-C-H-E.com, just like it sounds. Actually, if you go to the Life Changes Show website, we have several links for them, YouTube, Spotify, Instagram. Find them there on our website. You can find them out there on social media. Just put in Rose Ganache. We are having a pleasurable conversation with Michelle Wolf and James Coburn. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say it that slow, but I'm like, Michelle, I just love stretching that out like that.
Well, I don't mind that at all.
So we talked a lot about frequency during the show, and of course music is frequency and connecting with it and tuning into it and all that. I'm curious, each of you, what the music represents, like why you like have to do it, because as a musician, I know we kind of have to, right?
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think that for myself, you know, playing music isn't much of a choice. It's sort of been a survival mechanism of mine since I was a kid, and continues to be through this day.
For sure. It's such a release. It's a great way to connect, and yeah, with the frequencies. I just hope, you know, I feel more in touch with others when I feel like they can take in the songs and experience them their own way.
You know, actually, I felt that earlier, but I you actually said something like that when I asked you to say something about Flurry, and you said you hope people take it in and experience it and hear it. And that's saying a lot. It feels like each of you individually, not only is it within you, but you're also, it seems like it's within you to share something. What is it that you two think you're sharing or want to share with the audience? Like, what do you want to make sure is conveyed out there?
Well, I'm not the lyricist, but I think that it's, you know, on a lighthearted note, I think music is a great place to find happiness and joy and comfort and love. And I think that's what I at least hope to to connect with when I listen to music. And in regards to, you know, sharing, I don't know. I've never really loved when too much emphasis has been put on, you know, what to expect from the music itself, or what I'm going to expect. I think that it's a, we talk about it a lot, how, you know, one song that we may write will take on a new life of its own over time and begin to mean something different to us as life goes on. And I know that that works for myself with, you know, old classic rock records too. There's songs that hit me differently when I was a kid, and they hit me differently now.
Right. And that's a good song that can travel with you through life, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
As a matter of fact, it feels like, before we hear your live song, it feels like things are moving quickly, like the two of you connecting and then it creating this sound between the two of you. And now it feels like it's moving out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for us to give a shout out to our producers, Tip Wyman and Ray Bardaney, because they've been huge champions of both of us. And they, you know, encourage us to lean into sort of the three piece of our band, if you will, which is Michelle's vocals and guitar playing and my guitar playing. And we hope that the energy between those three creates something unique.
Well, very good. Actually, we're going to get to hear more of what you two create. You're both going to be playing guitar live. And of course, Michelle is going to be singing. And now the album that just dropped in September is called Acoustic. And I'm assuming that's because it's all acoustic.
That is correct. Okay. You're on. Yeah, we're really excited to have it. It's such a contrast from our first album, our EP. So.
It's... Okay, well, is it called Open Display?
Yeah.
Okay, wow, I mean, that sounds loaded. Can't wait to hear it. Here is yes. Rose Ganache live online here on the Life Changes Show with Open Display.
Thank you.
You can't see past yourself, holding you down like the water you tread, be filling up your lungs. And I watch you from afar like I know who you are, and then I realize that the war has begun. You say I can make a change, yeah, and I say I just follow mine. Well, I think that it goes without saying, I don't want to waste no more time. Change will come when we're tired of being the same. Now we'll go on trial for mistakes. I've been around here for a while, but it doesn't feel safe. I think I hide out in denial to avoid the pain. Well, you only notice when it's out there on an open display. Now the hourglass fine here to remind us we can't buy our way out. when you notice the divide, yeah, you have to choose a side. So tell me, is the war raging now? 'Cause you say I could make a change, yeah, and I say I just follow what's mine. Well, I think that it goes without saying, I don't want to waste no more time. Change will come when we're tired of being the same. For a while, but it doesn't feel safe. I think I had out in denial to avoid the pain. Well, you only notice when it's out there on an open display.
Nice. Surprise ending there. Gosh.
Yep.
Rose Ganache. Find them at Rose Ganache, just like it sounds, roseganache.com. That's their website. Of course, they're on YouTube and Spotify and Instagram. And their latest album that they dropped in September is acoustic. And it feels like there's going to be so much more to come. Good on the two of you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We're excited.
You know, well, we're excited. I feel such a great vibe from you all. And I have to say, we don't usually say thank you to each other here at the Life Changes Show, because it's our job to find great guests and great performance guests and bring them to the show. But Mark, kudos. Thank you. When he mentioned you all, it was exciting, because the vibe is great.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very grateful he reached out to us. It was awesome.
Yeah, this has been a lot grateful of fun. It was a pleasure to meet Mark.
Yeah. Likewise. And this is just the seed planted. We have much more to do together.
Look forward to that very much. And thank you all for listening.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for being here. So with a big thank you to both Michelle Wolf and James Coburn of Rose Ganache, and a big thank you again to Michelle Welch, and a big thank you to all of you for listening. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.